Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, again. As I just bow before your presence, Lord, and thank you for helping throughout this day with the messages and your presence and your spirit of truth and holiness, as your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path in this hour, as your word does direct our steps and guides us and leads us into your eternal salvation, which you have ordained before the foundation of the world through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, again, that we do overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and love not our lives unto the death. We thank you for that, Father, as we do know that we just need you. We need you to help us. We need you to help us to love you as you love us. And we just bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. We bless the saints, wherever they may be in this hour. And now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to continue with the word consider for this short period of time as we are remembering the greatest false witness of the coming of Jesus Christ, Ralph Gordon Stair, as here's another good picture of old Ralph when he was raging in his, what he called his radio room. Those are the same hands right there that molested Natasha in that same room that you're seeing him sit in. That's a good picture of a forward and violent spirit. Violence covers the mouth of the wicked, and that's all that come out of that man's mouth with violence. But anyways, let me get back to the word. Consider, as I'm going to start in Isaiah. Just remember, this is what the headliner is at the Overcomer Ministry, now that James Rice has taken the reins with his whore at his side, Rose Larrabee, shepherding the people in the prophet's command, he says, by God. That can't be wrong, could it? Man, if it is, if I'm wrong, then I'll blaspheme the Holy Ghost. These people don't have the Holy Ghost. Period. That's thus saith the Lord of hosts, who gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. Praise God. Remember, consider, and beware. Not beware. It says be aware, not beware. But anyways, let's go back to the word consider. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Well, that's the true thing now. People there to overcome ministry, and I'm using them as a focal point because of the perversion. I actually lived there for 15 years, so I know in detail what God brought me out of. He brought me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock to stay. Praise God. He put a song in my heart today, a song of praise. Hallelujah. Timothy, chapter 2, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Let's see here if I can find that again. What was that James said? Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Consider what he says, the words that come out of his mouth.
How you've yielded yourself and submit to God. How you humble yourself. That determines what you hear, not what I say.
That's the truth. But the truth of what I said, that's the truth, is a spirit of lies and divination is upon that man, James Rice. It's how you hear, not what he says. But what did Paul say? Timothy chapter 2, verse 7.
The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things.
Now, consider what he says and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. That's pretty clear. But you consider, not how you hear what he says. It's how you hear what he says, for sure. Hey, even Jesus says, how hear you? How you hear? Hey, why is it you don't hear my speech? Because you can't understand my words or hear my words? Oh, I think Jesus was clear on that aspect. Let me see now. Where would that be? Was that in... let me see if I could pop that up real quick in my Bible. If I'm not mistaken, that was in John chapter 8. And I'll get to John chapter 8 again another time. Because it's just like I said the other day. I mean, that's why people don't listen to me when I'm preaching or ministering the word of God. How when I had questions, I says, I heard a comment, whoa, Jesus. And for one thing, it didn't say that those people that went out from the eldest to the least were ashamed. None of them were ashamed. It don't say that as far as that goes in that particular sense. Now, Jeremiah does say it. Jeremiah 17, verse 13. But in this case, Jesus, what the word ashamed was not mentioned in that point right there when Jesus was actually talking to him. If you actually look at it right here it says, let's go back to it now, just real briefly, and I'm going to prove my point here. They said unto a master, this woman was taken adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? And they said, this tempting him, that they may have accused him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground, and italics, it says, as though he heard them not. But he did hear them. And with finger, wrote on the ground. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself, saying, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted of their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even out to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman, and said unto her, now mind you, who's Jesus talking to here? Now it says right here in verse 3, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And they started talking to him about it. And then Jesus started talking back to them about what was going on here. Okay? Pretty clear. When Jesus gets to the end of this confrontation, he says to the woman, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. And that's one of those perversions that Ralph came up with. Oh, he didn't mean adultery. He just meant, don't sin against me and not come to me if you sin. That's how Ralph twisted that scripture. Jesus was clear, telling this woman, hey, this may have been her second admonition. It certainly was her first admonition anyways. Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. It could have been her first admonition then, in that sin that she was committing. Then Jesus spake again unto them. Wait a minute. First Jesus is talking to them about the woman. And then it says, because I brought this question up after when somebody was talking about this. I said, hey, why didn't you read verse 12? He said, oh, I don't know if Jesus ever talked to them again about it. And I said, my God, I just talked about this a few weeks ago, because what really sparked my spirit on this was the word again, because it was the same kind of word that God used with Jesus when John the Baptist sent some of his followers to go ask Jesus, hey, are you the one? Or is there, and then Jesus said, go tell John again, the word again, those things which you see and hear. Now, what does it say here very clearly? You don't wonder if Jesus talked to these men again, because it's very clear that he did. Verse 12 in John 8, it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He said unto them, again, unto them, the same ones he was talking to. He went outside the house or wherever they had brought the woman to. Then he went out and talked to them again. Okay. But the point I wanted to make was, what was that again? Let me play that again. Let me see if I can find that right here. James Rice.
How you've yielded yourself and submit to God. How you humble yourself. That determines what you hear, not what I say.
Okay. It determines what you hear, not what James says. Now, what did Jesus Christ say about words for any one of us? Huh? What does he say about words for any one of us? I'll start in, well, let's go, this is very good. This is one of my favorite chapters because it actually says here, we're going to the part where it says, about right here. See, the same ones that Jesus actually spake again. He spoke to them again after they brought him the woman. They said to him, "Hey, you know, you bear record, thou bearest record of thyself, and your record is not true." These are the same ones that were popping off to him just after they walked out of the room. And Jesus said, "Hey, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and where I go, but you cannot tell whence I come and where I go." You, and now wait a minute, here's the key to why it was the same people that Jesus talked to with the woman. Very clear. Ye judge, verse 15, John 8, after the flesh, I judge no man. What were they doing? They were bringing her to them after the flesh. Judging her after, Moses said she should be stoned. Okay. And if yet I judge, my judgment is true, for I'm not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. That's why Jesus said, "Hey, my judgment is true. Woman, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." That was the judgment of Almighty God through Jesus Christ, his Son. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. And they said unto him, "Where is thy Father?" Jesus said, "Hey, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also." And Jesus, these words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour is not yet come. Then Jesus again said, unto them, "I go my way, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come." Then said the Jews, "Will he kill himself? Because he saith, where I go, you cannot come." And he said unto them, "You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I said, therefore, unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou?" Jesus said unto him, "Hey, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understand not that he spoke to them of the Father." Then said Jesus unto them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Wow. Help us to do all those things that please you, Lord, our Father in heaven, and your Son. As he spake these words, now listen to this now, verse 30. "And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." As he spake these words, many believed on him. Now verse 31, John 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Wow, he's talking now to the ones that actually believed on him. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and this truth shall make you free. Wow. Here's what they answered him that believed on him. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you should be made free? And Jesus answered them that believed on him, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus said, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. And they answered, here's now, these are the Jews that believed on him now. And they answered and said on him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said on him, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. And then said they that believed on him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Wow. Why, verse 43, do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word?
How you've yielded yourself and submit to God, how you humble yourself, that determines what you hear, not what I say.
I guess maybe Jesus should have said that. He should have said, I see what it is. It's not what I say, but it's how you hear what I say. What a perversion this James Rice is to the word of God, to the cause of Christ in this hour. They could have really, with the radio outreach that they do have, they could have denounced the perversion of Ralph Steer instantly and got on with the truth of the coming of Jesus Christ instead of perverting it like they've been doing. But that's the work of the whore, the deep ditch that Ralph fell in and didn't come out of. Remember now, there's no outlet to the spirit of Rose Larrabee. And isn't that interesting? It says Rose, L-A, no outlet. But that's where James Rice is and all the others like Timothy Jones and his sister Conchita. They're all giving place to the devil when the Bible says give no place to the devil at all. But that's what they've done. They not only gave him place. They let them set up a bond within themselves. All right. Verse 43, John 8, Jesus said, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father the devil, the lust of your father you do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's why I often correlate that with Ralph Steer. And he fathered James Rice. So he's the father of lies and whatever. He's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Here it is. Wait a minute now. What did James say?
How you've yielded yourself and submit to God, how you humble yourself, that determines what you hear, not what I say.
That's a damn lie from hell. It determines what people say is what you're going to actually hear. Because Jesus went on to say, he that is of God heareth God's words. Is that clear? Ye therefore hear them not, James writes, and all you other perverters out there, because you are not of God. Remember I said now, like I said about James Rice and Timothy Jones, the true pastors of God will feed God's people with understanding and knowledge, not perversion and wickedness and seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The coming of Jesus Christ never came about the way their leader, Ralph Steer, proclaimed, or anything else that the man proclaimed. Period. But that's all right. God is going to have his way in the whirlwind very shortly. But in verse 47 of John 8, it says, and he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. And that's clear. That is very clear. Remember, consider and beware. Remember, we're focusing on a word, consider, as you see the banner of the overcomer, as James Rice is shepherding the perversion by the prophet's command, by God. And we are considering judgment, and we're considering remembering, and we're considering being aware, or beware. All right? And what triggered behind that was when I seen that one again in Timothy chapter 2 that I just recently played for you. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And I brought this out last week, and I'll continue to do it. Have you considered the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, this week, throughout this time? It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. That's what Jesus is right now. In body, in heaven. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. We're made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, people. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Not consider the former apostle, as I heard preached. Oh, he fulfilled being an apostle. He's not an apostle no more. What a bunch of perversion that is. But that's the religious system in this world, boy. They want to come up with their own private interpretations of the scripture. And that's not even true. Because otherwise, it would have said, consider the former apostle and now high priest. It don't say that. All right? And on Hebrews chapter 10, it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he that is faithful, that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not to perversion and lies, and lie upon lie, as been being done and it continues to be done. And the overcome ministry ain't the only thing that people that are out there doing it. There's a whole host of religious people out here talking about Jesus now. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's assembling ourselves in the spirit, as well as physical, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice of sins. And that's what Ralph Steer and James Rice have done. They have sinned willfully and take pleasure in their spiritual, physical perversion of their lifestyles that they actually live. Ralph Steer did it for years. And James Rice, like I said, is following in the footsteps of Ralph. They take pleasure. Knowing the judgment of God, they take pleasure in them that do the same. But there don't remain no more sacrifice of sins for these people, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment, of fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Now, How much sore punishment suppose ye? Just suppose. How much sore punishment shall he be thought worthy who has trodden under foot the Son of God or the Word of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite to the Spirit of grace. That's the key right there. They've done despite to God's grace and his Spirit. There's no doubt about it. That's why you heard where Brother Kirk was preaching on the punishment. And despite, go listen to those messages, Despite and Punishment by Brother Kirk Higbee on the Truth Blaster on YouTube. In fact, I'll even be putting them up here shortly on thefinalwitness.com. I'm going to start putting up Kirk's messages there, because YouTube's going to be done away with, because you can't really speak truth on YouTube that much. In fact, let me just see what I got here. Okay. Let me put this one up real quick, because this is one I used. It reminds me of the perversion of YouTube with the how they got the WHO is their little god, or their big god, actually. The WHO. The World Health Organization is the god of the YouTube people. Now, listen to what they said here. This is what Eisenhower did.
From the White House in the office of the President of the United States, we present an address by Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Now, listen to this address that this man made back in the late 50s about what he says here in detail. Maybe this is fake news, huh? Maybe this might, who knows, maybe YouTube will ban this. This is misinformation, huh? Medical misinformation, maybe. I doubt it. It's not even close to it. This is the truth this man spoke.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Now, John Kennedy repeated those same words when he was in office, and then he got killed. But listen to what this man here, President Eisenhower, went on a little bit farther in truth and revelation of the Black Pope and those that are being operated by him.
We must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
Wow. That is incredible. That is incredible, what Eisenhower just said there. Wow. But getting back to this, those that have done despite to the Spirit of grace, for here we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth not to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. You name the name of Christ and you don't depart from iniquity, God is going to take vengeance on you. There's either, you're either going to be corrected or you're ordained for damnation, one or the other. That's all there is to it. For we know him that saith, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance, brothers and sisters, the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Because before we were afflicted, we went astray. So those afflictions come so that we bring us back on the right and the right and holy path, the righteousness of God, the path of life. Partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion, Paul said, of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And that's what we need to do. That's why we pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, Father, in earth as it is in heaven, that after we have done the will of God, We might receive the promise, and there's no sin in God's will, people, no matter how you look at it. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. He didn't come within 6 months of Ralph Starr's death. What a liar that man was. And then James Rice, to say the things that he said. Well, we'll get into more detail about James Rice here as the days progress. Now, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That means God will remove himself and his presence and that incorruptible seed out of that person. But we are not of them that draw back on a perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. All right. Now, I got there to read Hebrews 12. So I'm going to open up the scriptures and read from Hebrews 12 about, remember, we're talking about the word consider, okay? And I bless God. Well, I just came across scripture. I got to read it. Okay, where'd it go? That was a beautiful scripture. Nevertheless, remember now, what I just read there? For you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Wow. Praise your name, Father. How about this one? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. I just seen this. It just like jumped out like a light bulb. Like lightning. Nevertheless, now remember, I just read this. That after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wow. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him at peace, without spot and blameless. That means no more sinning, people. That's talking about now, not in the future, as far as when Jesus comes. Wow. And Paul goes on to say, well, that was Peter, actually. Okay, let me get to Hebrews. Because that's what I was determined to read, Hebrews 12. All right. And this is the last place consider was in the scriptures. Let's see what we got here. Okay. I started in Deuteronomy 32, and now I'm back and I'm going to Hebrews 12. Now, wherefore, starting at verse 1, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And that's not just a sin of unbelief. That's a sin that so easily besets us, no matter what it is. Whatever kind of sin besets you, you better pray for deliverance. Just like I mentioned about the people I ran into the other day that are vaping. They call it vaping. And they make this stuff and they sell it. Why haven't they cried out to God for deliverance from cigarettes? I did, and I got delivered. And like I said, then I put my hand back on it again and was in a fearful position. Because if it would have been maybe my second time, I might have been gone forever, just like Saul. After the first and second admonition, reject. And that's what God does. That's his word. But why not seek the Lord for deliverance instead of trying to find some human way to do it? Just like I said about Alcoholics Anonymous or Anonon or all this other nonsense. That's not the way to be delivered from anything, people. Deliverance comes from God. Praise your name, Father. Especially true deliverance, where it's delivered out of your heart, your spirit, your mind. You might be tempted, but Jesus Christ, when he being tempted, he suffered. That's how he suffered, being tempted. And he's able to succor us in any temptation. that we have. It's just like it said, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord shall give to them that love him and that obey him. For he gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. All right. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Now, there's a good thing to despise. Not despising God. Don't be a despiser of God, because there's judgment. Stripes for the back of fools. Judgment for scorners. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, for consider him, Jesus Christ, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. You know, because that reminds me how Ralph used to put himself in that position. Oh, he endured a contradiction of sinners when he was a chief sinner, and never repented of being a chief sinner. He used to boast about it, but he never turned from his sins. You see, that's why I said sinners aren't going to stand in the judgment. God's going to come back to destroy the sinners that are out of the land. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise thou not the chastening or correction of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receives. That means he don't receive everybody. Only the ones he receives. Many are called, few are received. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? See, that's the whole thing. You're exercised by chastening or punishment. Punishment is chastening. You punish a child for doing something wrong, you're chastening them. And if they receive the chastisement, then are your sons. Because it says here, if you endure chastening, God deals with your sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you're all bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have a father. We have had fathers after our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not be much rather in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For verily, they for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. See, that's what chastisement and correction is for. To be partakers of God's holiness. Wow. Isn't that beautiful? Now, no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby, or receive it. You don't receive it. You despise the chastening of the Lord. It says, despise thou not. But if you despise it and say, hey, God, whatever you do, you despise God. You are in a heap of trouble, people. It says, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. Wow. See, God gives us the ability to make straight paths for our feet. The Word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path to make it straight. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Just like Ralph Stair. He definitely failed of the grace of God. James Rice failed of the grace of God, even though he's still alive. He has no intention of repenting from his wickedness. especially when he's married to a whore. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You tell me that many weren't defiled by Ralph Steer and James Rice and are still being defiled? You're a fool if you don't believe that. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. A profane person or fornicator. Paul talked about people like that in Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians 5, I believe it is. I'll be talking about that more in the future. For you know that afterward, when he would have inherited a blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Wow. For you are not come onto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, as the sound of a trumpet and the voice of the words, which voice that they heard and treated the word should not be spoken to them for any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mount, it shall be stoned or thrust through in a dart. And so terrible was that sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Wow. But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Wow. Wow. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And the truth of God, his word, will abide and remain forever. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You see, that's what grace is given to us for. To serve God with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. But that's why grace is given to us. To serve God with reverence and godly fear. Not as, let me see here if I can find it. Okay. Let me close out this section to consider. Remember now, here's an example of Ralph Steer's grace of God that he perverted so profoundly back in 2017. This is one of the triggers that set me off of how can a man pervert the very word of God so clearly and yet not be corrected when he was approached with the very truth coming out of this minister's mouth about what he was doing. My intent was never to condemn anybody. It was only for repentance. It's like I told Rabishu way back in 2017 when he called me up in Connecticut and wanted me to go on nationwide radio with him about Ralph Steer and his perversion. I said, look, man, I'm talking about the corruption that Ralph Steer did with his mouth and his life with the word of God, not to put him in jail or to do anything else. Let's listen to this in closing this out. Remember now, consider the perversion of Ralph Steer and James Rice in this hour that we live in.
He's about to tell you one thing, don't just live haphazardly, because if you do, you're going to tempt the Lord your God. It's also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. So don't just go out there and live haphazardly. Don't do that. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. For the grace of God is given to you to teach you.
Teach you.
To deny on godliness.
Listen close.
Not fleshly lust.
The grace of God is a gift.
On godliness. Lust that wants to make you like God without God. On godliness. Makes you very spiritual when you're not. On godliness. Spiritual wickedness in high places. To make you think you're greater than God, bigger than God. On godliness.
Now, is that pretty clear? To make you think you're bigger than God or greater than God, ungodly lust, and the man fulfilled his own words by saying he was greater than Jesus Christ? Remember, people, this James Rice perversionist continually goes out in the footsteps of Ralph Stair. Remember, consider, and beware of these kind of perverts out here that actually speak the word of God and hold it in unrighteousness. And they are just like the serpent in the garden. Hath not God said? Remember, the whore, the great whore of the Overcomer Ministry, with Ralph Stair, and now with James Rice. Remember, consider, and beware. Lest that come upon you that was spoken of the prophets. You keep believing these lies these people are putting out. You're gonna fill your cup up. And you will have a destiny in the lake of fire where all liars are going to go. Just like Ralph went to. He ain't in the lake of fire yet. He will be there though. And James Rice is following. And he'll be right next to Ralph. In that lake of fire, because he has no desire to follow truth and righteousness, especially after he married Ralph's whore. Come on now. Well, I'll get to her when James talked about her britches and all this other stuff and all the perversion that's going on there. I don't need much to actually bring out. They foam out their own shame, as the scripture says. Raging waves of the sea. Wow. Well, Lord bless you. In Jesus' name is my prayer till we meet again. Amen.